it going, everybody?
Hello.
This is Connie.
And this is Sahar.
And we're back for another episode of the Creative Writing Podcast. Today's episode is going to be a really short one. We will be explaining the wonderfulness that is National Novel Writing Year.
Yes. Thank you, Aaron.
And the use of character journals. And talking more about the challenge that we issued in the last podcast. Everything that is mentioned on the show can be seen on our show notes on our site, thecreativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments or would like to leave us feedback, please feel free to call our feedback line at 206-666-1974 or email us at momb411@comcast.net. Before we get started, though, there's a couple of show notes that we'd like to hit off. First off, congratulations to Sahar for not only turning 18, but graduating high school. Yay, you. And I'd also like to mention, like the proud mama that I am, that she graduated in the top 5% of her class. Yay, you. Yay. So how does it feel to have finally graduated high school?
It feels good. I woke up on the last day, and the first thing I thought was, I am so glad I don't have to get up at 5:40 a.m. again.
Well, until August, right?
No, actually, because I can choose class times now, since college and everything, so I don't actually have to be at school by 7:45.
And just for our listeners, what college did you decide on?
Simmons in
Boston. And you're going for what?
English.
And so
English is a major.
English is a major. And so, again, like I said, we'd like to congratulate you for being all grown up now.
Thanks. But I'm not the only one with good news, because didn't you just have an interview with somebody, too?
I did. I did an interview with Cindy on Cindy's Got the Right Stuff at blog, or it's blogs, Cindy's Got the Right Stuff.blogspot.com. We'll have the link to her site and the interview right up on the page. I'm the first one that she did a couple of weeks ago, and she's got somebody else up now, so you can just scroll down and to see the interview.
Oh, okay. I thought you were the only person she interviewed.
No, well, I was the very first one, which I was really flattered. She came to me and said that she was looking to start up a Wednesday column, and it's called What's Up Wednesday. And every Wednesday she has an interview with another author. And she's on my live journal as a friend, and we've been friends for a while. And she said that she came to me and asked if I'd do it, and I was really, really flattered. I think it turned out really well.
That's pretty good. Okay, so you were talking about the What's Up Wednesday section. Maybe we should talk about what's up with the podcast today. So I guess first we're going to start off talking about National Novel Writing Year. So National Novel Writing Year is basically this, it's a competition or a challenge in which you choose your own goal in terms of word count, and then you have to work towards that goal. I'm not sure what the limit is, like the minimum. I think it's 150,000.
Yeah, I think it's 150. It's either 100,000 or 150,000.
Yeah, something like that. And then the highest group is like 750,000 and beyond, which I think is crazy.
It's insane. There's a couple girls going for three to five million for a year. It's nuts.
That's ridiculous. When do they sleep?
I don't think they do. I think it's a combination of like coffee and no-nos.
Yes, it's a never-ending coffee supply.
So, and that's actually writing year on the boards. That's where we met.
Yes, it is.
So, what's your goal for the year?
My goal is 350,000, but I think it's going to go up from there because I'm pretty ahead of where I'm supposed to be right now.
And so, for our readers. For our readers or listeners that don't know, what because for National Novel Writing Year, it's one 50,000-word novel. What constitutes what's good for National Novel Writing Year as far as what counts towards the goal?
As opposed to National Novel Writing Month?
Yes.
National Novel Writing Year can be pretty much, I think it's pretty much everything except poetry. Because according to Erin, she's the major moderator of National Novel Writing Year.
We love you, Erin.
We love you, Erin. thank you for this. You saved our brains. You can use novels. You can use short stories. You can even use your homework assignments. That is part of my word count with my research paper. And that really helped a lot. Thank you, Erin.
and you can also use character sheets and the plotting devices.
Yes, you can use that too. I forgot
because
I don't use those.
Right, which has helped me out. And I am going for 40,000. Yeah, for 400,000 this year. I'm at about 150,000. And one of the things that I'm working on right now that I'm using towards that word goal are character journals. And just for those who don't know, character journals are a device that can be used in the pre-planning stage just to get to know your character a little bit better. Basically, you write out your character's thoughts in journal form. Anything from what do they think of the political climate to what's going on in their heads with the drama that they've gone through or how they feel about what's been pinned on them or whatever. In the last story that I was doing, I had no idea about one of the secondary characters. I was fighting with them and just didn't understand him. And then I sat down and wrote a character journal, and 5 pages later, him and I were good friends.
For Northern Lights?
Yes, for Northern Lights, which, by the way, is completed.
Yay! We should have put that at the beginning.
Yeah, we probably should have, huh?
Yeah. Oh, well.
But, I'm working on character journals for my show Lockdown Now, and it has a lot of secondary characters that I'm not really sure about, and the character journals have really helped me out.
Is that the anger management via paint thing?
Yes.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, since most people don't, I wrote a scene for Lockdown that can be seen on my live journal. And I'm sure that I could put it, if for those of you who would like to see it, I can put it on our site.
Yeah.
But,
that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, but getting back to the character journals, they've really helped me flesh out a lot of backstory. So, do you use them?
Actually, I don't. Because when I write, I just kind of start writing the novel, like what I did for the first book. I just started writing the first couple of chapters, and I had basic ideas about their personality traits. Like, one of the characters, I knew she was very guarded, especially around, like, other guys. And that was basically the one thing I knew about her. And then later on, when I started writing more short stories that revolved around that book, which some of them are posted online, I realized that I knew more about her than I thought I did. And not just her, but about my other characters, too. So I think it's through writing those stories rather than through the character journals that I actually got to know my characters better. Because now, when I write the stories, I pretty much know what they would and wouldn't do. So I know what sort of actions to avoid and what sort of things to write about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, I tend to write scenes, too, to get to know my characters. But if I just can't seem to get them, I go ahead and I do the character journals because I feel that one of my weakest points as a writer is character development. So I'm really trying to hone in on that and really get to know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's all we have for the character journals. And I think we're going to take a little break right now. But when we come back, Connie and I are going to read the challenges that we have written. Welcome back, everybody. Like I said before the break, Connie and I are going to be reading our challenges now. And just to refresh your memory, the challenge that we issued for the first podcast was write a scene that ends with two people making up after a long misunderstanding that kept them apart. So that was actually a pretty good challenge.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and go first, and just as a little explanation, my answer to the challenge is actually going to be used as this in part of the second book of Northern Lights, and actually that I haven't even started planning, let alone writing it, but it just kind of fit, so I kind of went with it. And but just as a side note, the challenge doesn't have to be part of something that you're actually working on.
Right.
You can... It can be part of what you're working on or something completely different. It's really up to your discretion. And I'm not really giving too much away for those of you who haven't read Northern Lights, but basically what Northern Lights is a teenage romance. It's an interracial teenage romance about two kids living up in small town Mackinac City, Michigan. And so, like I said, I felt that I could go ahead and post this, even though it's in book two, because it, being that it's a teen romance, it's pretty much a given that the two main characters are going to get together and break up like every other week. So I figured that, you know, it'd be okay. All right, so I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. This is my Northern Lights snippet. Orange soda poured out of the mouth of the bottle like a waterfall of carbonated water as it slipped out of her hand. Time seemed to stand still as the plastic container took longer than normal to fall the 3 feet to the floor. With a soft crunch, it hit the wood floor, a river of sun-kissed racing towards the door, forming a lake by the base of Eli's feet. Hi to you, too. His nervousness would have almost been cute if Carrington wasn't infuriated by his very being. She'd been dreaming about this day for months, opening the door to the frantic ringing of the doorbell, only to be face-to-face with the one man other than her daddy that she had ever truly loved. She just didn't expect it to be 6 months later. Each dream had been different. Some dreams she'd launched her body into his arms, raining kisses on his cheeks and forehead before finally settling on his lips. In other dreams, she slammed the door in his face after unleashing an angry tirade on him, not giving him a chance to explain why he'd come back. In neither scenario had she lost her nerve to do either and dropped her pop when she seen him. Hi. What was she supposed to do? Kiss him? Kick him in the shins? Flip a coin and let fate decide? Carrington, we need to talk. Here he was. It was about to happen. She was finally going to get to let him have it. She needed to get away from him. Now, holding up her hands as a sign for him to stop, she shook her head. I need to clean this up before it gets sticky. Not giving him a chance to say anything, she disappeared into the safety of her house, no doubt leaving him just as confused as she was a half a year earlier when he told her that he was leaving and didn't give her any reason as to why. Scrambling for old cleaning rags in the kitchen, she forced her heart to slow down and her thoughts to follow suit. She could do this. If he could leave what they had before really giving it a chance to begin, he didn't care as much as he claimed. Her resolve returning, she squared her shoulders to revisit her past one last time before she moved on. Avoiding eye contact, she sunk to her knees to clean up her mess. The 24-ounce bottle had about half her beverage left in it now. Putting it on the table by the door, she concentrated on ignoring him. Even though she wasn't looking at him, his musky cologne let her senses know that he was still a little too close for comfort. She'd spent long enough staring at him that his maple syrup-colored eyes were burned into her memory. Damn him for coming to her house looking better than she'd ever seen him. Here, let me help. Her heart rate accelerated again when he bent down, not waiting for an invitation to take the second towel and helped her clean up. What do you want? Her voice was as shaky as her resolve seemed to be. Kissing him was becoming a better idea than kicking him, and really, he deserved the latter. You. Her brain screamed for air about 30 seconds after she stopped breathing. That explained a lot. This was all a dream. This actually wasn't happening. Abandoning her efforts of soaking up the liquid, she jumped to her feet, needing space between them. You can't be serious. Why not? Thankfully, he gave her a reason to go off. You leave the way you did 6 freaking months ago, and then you walk in here and expect to just pick up where we left off? Freaking really? The emotion behind her statement shocked her, even her, but it was time to direct the anger where it really belonged instead of keeping it in. If the sun-kissed bottle got to explode, then so did she. It wasn't just that easy, you know. She knew what he was talking about, but wanted to hear him say it. Directing her attention to the towel on the floor, she pressed her brightly painted toes into the soft, comforting fabric, watching it turn a darker maroon as it soaked up more pop. What wasn't? As much as she needed to hear him say it, she didn't want him to see the emotions swirling in her eyes. You act like the decision to leave was as easy as deciding what I wanted for breakfast. I did what I thought I had to do, Carrington. Not returning even a thank you for your birthday card is what you thought you had to do. So maybe that was childish. But he could have at least told his grandma to tell her thank you. All this time, not a peep from downstate, and here he was asking for forgiveness like what he did was a minor infraction. Even after all this time, his deep chuckle still rubbed up her hormones. I got the card, girl. Granny told me that the look in your eyes was enough to make a sinner repent. I couldn't stand the thought of you shedding any more tears over me, especially around the holidays, so I thought I was doing the right thing. Tears lying in her eyes, she finally looked at him. You weren't. Pulling her to him, he wrapped his arms around her, crushing her body to his. I know, girl. They were quiet for what seemed forever, standing on the towel with his fingers combing through her hair. The faint tip of his heart lulled her fears into submission. Pulling back just enough to look at him, but not enough to untangle from their embrace, she conjured all the courage she could. It's not going to be this easy, you know. You can't just walk back in here like nothing happened. Gently tucking her hair behind her ear, he nodded. I fully understand that. I just wanted back in the door. You were never out. With a wide smile, he bent down, putting his lips on hers, thanking her for the invitation back. She sighed contently as their tongues met. This ending was definitely better than anything she could have ever dreamt up.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
And so there you have it.
Well, mine isn't like that.
Well, no, you write a different genre than I do.
Well, yes. Well, mine also comes from part of the book/series that I'm writing. But it's more toward the end of the series. Just for some, I guess, background information, the story kind of revolves around this family who's taking care of a gypsy girl. And this is, like, during a time in Russia where it's taboo to, like, associate with gypsies. And there's this kind of anti-gypsy group called the Cleansers. And they're basically, like, trying to get rid of all the gypsies so that Russia can kind of be, like, a clean country. Yes, I'm making air quotes. No, you can't see them. Her family is killed. Her parents and one of her brothers is killed. But her older brother saves her by killing one of the Cleansers who was trying to kill her. And so they escape to America. And so the part in the story focuses on the older brother and his best friend who he met on the trip to America. Mostly he relies on his friend Sasha for a lot of moral support because, well, if you shot somebody, you'd kind of be freaked out too, unless you were, like, crazy.
Yeah, you definitely think that's funny.
No, it's not. So eventually they get into a fight, and now this is basically from Sasha's point of view of how he's trying to make up with the character, whose name is Sergei, by the way. I wish I had said that earlier. So here's mine. He didn't often visit Sergei, Normally, it was the other way around. Normally, they would sit and talk in the darkness of his own apartment, not vice versa. He couldn't even remember the last time he had visited Sergei. But they hadn't talked for quite a while now, a week at the very least, and he was sick of it. He was sick of lying in bed alone at night. He was sick of not talking to Sergei. He was sick of waiting every single night to see if he would hear the familiar rapping on the door to his apartment. Truth be told, he felt a little weak without Sergei to talk to and to be with, even for just a little while. He didn't feel totally weak, just a little, almost like a part of him was missing, a very important part of him. And so here he stood on the night marking the 8th day in a row that the two of them had not spoken to each other, trying to figure out the reason behind all of this, the reason behind their lack of communication. Maybe Sergei had been taking his advice. Maybe he'd been taking it a little too seriously, a little too literally. Yes, he'd said, "You can't cling on to me forever," but he hadn't said, "Don't cling to me at all." It wasn't that he hated it. It was that he couldn't take it. He just knew that Sergei could handle it. He knew that all Sergei needed was a little push in the right direction. Maybe he'd pushed a little too hard for the other's liking, which explained why he was here, to apologize, to reconcile, to take back what he had said, or to explain what he had said, and to explicitly offer an ear and a shoulder. He took a deep breath and knocked on the door, then waited a little while. Nothing. He waited for a few more seconds. Nothing. He knocked again. Nothing. He waited for a few more seconds, and still nothing. He wasn't going to scream. He wasn't going to scream to get the other's attention. He didn't want to intimidate anyone. Besides, he was in an enclosed space, and it was nighttime. If he yelled, everyone would rush out of their rooms to see what was wrong. If he yelled, he would make a scene, and he couldn't do that. He didn't want to do that. He wanted it to be a simple apology, a quick "I'm sorry," so that they could go on with the rest of their lives. He just wanted to speak in a low voice through the crack in the door if he could, but he wasn't even sure if Sergei was on the other side of the door. He could have been in his bedroom, in the bathroom, anywhere except the one room where he'd be able to hear the knocking at the door. "Hey, Sergei." He didn't even bother calling the other boy by his nickname. That would just automatically imply that they were talking again, without any real discussion or reconciliation. It would imply that he wasn't taking Sergei seriously. And at this point, it was the least he could do. It would make the apology more effective, hopefully. "Sergei, it's me. It's Sasha. He sighed softly and rested his fingertips upon the cool wood of the door. This wasn't going to be very easy. "I don't know why you shouldn't cling to me, I mean. I didn't say that you shouldn't cling to me at all." He coughed and tapped his foot on the soft rug of the hallway. "I like when you talk to me, you know? When you can tell me what's on your mind and all that. What I mean is, you can do it. You can do it. You can live without me, without always clinging to me. I don't want you to, but I know you can. You don't need me to go on with your life." More silence. It was probably a useless effort. "Fine," he sighed softly, shrugging his shoulders and letting them fall again. "I guess you didn't hear me. I'll go now. Maybe I'll come back tomorrow night if you're not still shunning me or whatever you want to call it." It was as he was turning to go back to his own apartment that he heard the lock click and the door open. "Sasha?" He turned and swallowed noiselessly. "Hey there, Sergei." The other boy was blinking into the darkness curiously, rubbing at his eyes with one hand and groping along the wall with the other. Probably trying to reach out for his hand, Sasha thought to himself with a faint smirk. "Did you mean everything you just said?" "Everything?" He rolled his eyes up toward the ceiling and sighed softly. "Yep, every word. Listen." He reached up for the hand that was groping along the wall and took it lightly. It was soft, but it was cold. "You can do it, okay? You can support Sierra and Alexei. Look at me. I support Tuvia. I'm going through the same thing. Well, not the same thing. I gave up school for him. You didn't. And being able to do all this, you're strong. Can't you see that? Something is keeping you from being as strong as you are. What is it? What's keeping you from being strong?" He smirked more broadly, though he wasn't sure if Sergei could see it or not. "You shot 2 cleansers and made it just fine, but don't think you can make it without me." He felt the hand squeeze his own, and rather tightly at that. "Don't talk about that. That lost me both my parents and my brother. I was not fine at all. And I'm still not. He could feel Sergei shivering, could clearly see the tears running down his cheeks. "Not fine at all. It hurts. It's so scary, like you wouldn't believe. You're lucky you never had to go through anything like that." He pulled Sergei into a gentle hug, an awkward hug, but a gentle hug nonetheless, and he didn't let Sergei lift his head. He buried Sergei's face into his shoulder. "You can do it, Seryozha," he kept on murmuring. "You can be strong. I can help you become strong, but it's up to you to maintain that strength. And if you need someone to fall back on for some help, or an ear or a shoulder, well, you've got me." He smiled faintly before pulling away for a moment, looking him in the eye and smiling. "You got me, okay? Now go to sleep. You're going to need your rest if you want to start becoming strong again, aren't you?" And for the first time in what seemed like forever, he got to see Sergei smile, and he was happy that his eyes had gotten so accustomed to the dark. Case closed. Things were back to normal. That's it.
That was really good.
Really?
Yeah, I like how the two of our, how ours are so different, because I wanted to show people that that they don't have to be a certain way. So I'm really glad that we write as differently as we do in the genres. And also, I'd like to let people know that if you want to read them, they'll be up on the each of our challenges will be on the site.
Yep. Okay. So, I suppose we should talk about next episode.
Well, real quick, I want to go ahead and let people know about the challenge, how to get it up on the site.
Good idea.
You can write, if you want to write it up, you can send it to momb411@comcast.net. Again, that's momb411@comcast.net, and we'll get it on the site. Or if you would like it read, or if you would like it to read it and get it on the next episode, you can send it to 206. You can leave a voicemail. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. You can leave a voicemail at 206-666-1974. Again, a little slower, that's 206-666-1974. And just leave the name that you want to be known as and read your challenge, and we will get it up on the next site, or on the next show. On the next something, I don't know.
It's late.
Yeah, it's very late. But so that wraps up another creative writing podcast. Our next show will be a Script Frenzy wrap-up that will feature two interviews from film producer D.L. Watson and Script Frenzy winner and a close friend of the two of us at the Creative Writing Podcast, Christiana, also known as Bella Tatra. And
hi, Tatra!
So we'd like you to visit the site to see what was talked about today on the show. We also have some
parting
old
gifts.
Yeah, we have some parting gifts, except they're going on your they're going from your tab. But no, we have some old school games on there that are really, really good for when you can't write and you want to procrastinate. And also, we have a guest book that we'd like everybody to sign. And we have a chat box that every once in a while I'm on if anybody wants to come and visit and chat. So
I should get on there.
Yes. And so you can visit that at thecreativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com. Again, that's thecreativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com. And again, please leave us feedback at 206-666-1974, because the only way we really know how we're doing is if you let us know. So if there's something you really like or something that you feel we need to improve on, please call the feedback line. And again, you can email us at momb411@comcast.net. So until next time, we leave you with this thought: the wastebasket is a writer's best friend. and that is by Isaac B. Singer. Thanks.
Bye.
I'ma be on the next level. I'ma be rocking over that bass treble. I'ma be chilling with my mother crew. I'ma be making all them deals you wanna do. I'ma be up in them A-list flicks, doing one-handed flips. And I'ma be sipping, don't trip, cause I'ma be shaking my hips. You gon' be licking your lip. I'ma be taking them pics, looking all fly and shit. I'ma be the flyest chick. I'ma be spreading my wings. I'ma be doing my thing.
Do it.
Okay, I'ma swing it this way. I'ma swing it that way. It's Fergie Ferg, and I'ma be here to stay. The 21st century till infinity.
I'ma be. Rich baby, what?
I'ma be.
The shit baby, check me out.
I'ma be
on top, never stop.
I'ma be.
Freaking hurt.
I'ma be
the upgraded new Negro. I'ma be the advanced brother with soul. I'ma be worldwide international. I'ma be in Rio, rockin' Tokyo. I'ma be brilliant with my millions. Loan out a billion to get back a trillion. I'ma be a brother, but my name ain't Lehman. I'ma be a bank, I be loaning out semen. Honey's in debt, they be bouncing them checks. But I don't really mind when they bouncing them checks. I'ma be rich, baby. Sick with the flow, and the goal is to rock the whole globe. I'ma be the future, I'ma be the whole. Reason why you even wanna come to a show. You can see me while I'm rocking and I'm kicking out a dough. Then I'ma be up in the club, doing whatever I like. I'ma be popping that bubbly, cooling and living that good life. Oh, let's make this last forever. Party and we'll chill together. On and 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 on. I'ma be rocking like this. What? Y'all niggas wanna talk shit? What? Why don't you put it on the blog, nigga? Rocking like this is my job, nigga. We can't help that we popular, and all these folks wanna flock to us. Come to a show and just rock with us. A million plus with binoculars.
I'ma be living that good life. I'ma be living that good.
I'ma be
living that good life. I'ma be living that good.
I'ma be
living that good life. I'ma be living that good.
Some next level shit. Futuristic musically, powerful with energy. From the soul we sonically, sending positivity across the globe in 7 seas. Take care of our families. Rocking shows, making cheese. I'ma be out with my peas. Living life, feeling free. That's how it's supposed to be. Come join my festivity and celebrate like I'ma be.
I'ma be.